Welcome back to How to Grow a Million Dollar Business. With me now is Maria Marcella, and she will be sharing how to grow a million dollar business with a mastermind team. Let me tell you about Maria. Maria is the founder of Elevating Your Business. She is a former Fortune 300 executive, a former Wall Street trader, small business strategist, author, and speaker. Maria entered the business world at 14 as an Avon representative. She started her second career on Wall Street at the tender age of 17 and made her mark at several well-respected firms, including Merrill Lynch, Dean Witter Reynolds, and Bear Stearns. Wall Street recognized and rewarded Maria's fierce determination and keen business insights. She became a bond trader at a time when women executives were a rare commodity. Maria then turned her knack for problem-solving, organizing, and systems development into a new position, increasing productivity and reducing expenses in a variety of departments. You can learn more about Maria at elevatingyourbusiness.com. Today we're going to talk about what is a mastermind. Formally introduced in the Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, he wrote about the mastermind principle as the coordination of knowledge and effort of two or more people who work toward a definite purpose in the spirit of harmony. Many great fortunes like those created by Henry Ford and Dale Carnegie have been earned by harnessing the power of mastermind groups. So today we're going to talk about how to tap into the power of a group for limitless ideas and affordable expert advice. Welcome, Maria.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited. And I get your newsletter, and I just love it. And I said, you know, I'm going to email Maria and just see if she might be available. So thank you for being so generous with your time and being with us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Yes, you're great. So tell us about Elevating Your Business. What was the inspiration for it, and what do you do for your clients, Maria?
Well, the inspiration was a car accident. So I'm one of those accidental business owners that really had an accident to get into business, a car accident. And it just had, you know, the doctors telling me I wasn't going to be able to go, you know, work 18-hour days on Wall Street and do all the stuff I was doing. And, you know, sometimes you need a change in life. And I moved out in New York, just in case people can't figure out where my accent is from. And, you know, tried living in the country for a little while, tried figuring out, you know, what I can do with the rest of my life, the next half of my life. And one day opened up the newspaper after I had gotten very frustrated because I couldn't find anything that I really, you know, really sounded passionate to me, you know, something that really kind of, you know, got me going. And when I opened up the newspaper, there was an article in there, Thomas Leonard, who put the profession of coaching together before he created his first school. The profession of coaching wasn't known. People were doing work all over, but it wasn't kind of, he created a school, he created the International Coaching Federation. And I saw that article and I said, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And then, you know, from there I started my business.
Wow. So for Maria, for those of you us who don't quite understand the concept, can you give us your definition of what a mastermind team is?
Yeah, it's two people or more getting together, consciously getting together with the notion that they are going to help each other no matter what. Now, I say that no matter what because a lot of times I'll say, you know, well, somebody will tell me, well, I get together with my friend. Friends are wonderful. I love having them. They don't always tell you the truth. They a lot of times tell you what you want to hear for whatever reasons. And so you want to find a buddy, could even, you know, be one other person who is in business that hopefully knows maybe as much or more about business than you do, and you want to agree that you are going to help each other weekly, monthly, however you know, set it up, and that no matter what, you're each going to tell the other person the truth.
So I think you made a key comment there about that they need to know as much or more about business. Can you expand on that a minute?
Yeah. When I run a mastermind, I'll be honest, people who have been in business, you know, for 5 or 10 years do not want to be at a mastermind with brand new business owners. The issues to be discussed are different. The level of the discussions are usually very different. And so when I run them, I run, you know, a mastermind for startups, and then I've got another one for established business owners.
So you recommend that if we're going into that type of a format, we'd want to be with people of our, you know, in our own same, similar level or maybe a step above us is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, maybe a, yeah. Right, maybe a step above you. That's always, you know, good to have. But to have, you know, brand new business owners with somebody, people that have been in business 10 years, it's not fair to the people who have been in business 10 years. So this is not like a mentoring kind of a thing where, you know, somebody that's been in business longer than you, you kind of pair up with and then they kind of mentor you through your business. This is an equal opportunity relationship.
Right. Well, and I guess if someone's new in business but has a specific area of expertise from maybe a former life, they might work out. But what I'm hearing is that it's really more beneficial to the participants if they're on equal footing. So,
yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I agree. How did you become interested in the mastermind concept?
Well, you know, I read the Think and Grow Rich book, which is a little tough reading for those of us in this century, but it's definitely worth reading. In fact, I was just at an event yesterday, and I was speaking, telling them I was going to speak today, and I didn't realize that Napoleon Hill had a foundation, and you can, Google the Napoleon Hill Foundation and get on their mailing list and kind of keep up with a lot of the stuff. And they've actually turned the book or are in the process, I forget what he said, into something that, you know, people in the 21st century are going to be able to read a little bit easier. So, I would highly recommend that people go check out that site.
Oh, yeah, and I believe that Career Track or Prior or one of them has a tape series that's very similar I think it's Dale Carnegie may have taped them, but using a lot of the principles and kind of defining them into the 21st century. So that's what I did after I read the book because it is a little bit heavy reading, as you said.
Yeah. I mean, but well worth it.
Yeah, absolutely.
To pick up the original and, you know, go through it, or if you read what's around now and then go back and read the original, from the guy who put it together.
So how can being involved in one help our business grow? Can you maybe give us some examples?
Well, I started one many years ago just for coaches. And I am trying to think. It must have been about 2001. And that group is actually still going. I'm not part of it anymore, but that group is still going strong, and they meet. And what happens at a mastermind group is, let's say we have 6 people, and let's say we have an hour. The way it works is when I do it as a virtual phone call, in the beginning of the hour, people talk about their wins. And that would be a win of the week or the month, depending on when the group meets. And the win is usually based on something they said that they were going to do at the last call. And I'll explain that a little bit in a minute. But you talk about the wins, you know, how your week went or whatever. And then you divvy the time up. So if there's 6 people, maybe each person gets, let's just use a round number, let's just say five minutes each. And the person would start their 5 minutes on what's called a hot seat, meaning you would be 100% in control of what happens during that 5-minute period. And you would tell the group, here's what the story is. I've got a logo, we're looking to rebrand. I sent everybody samples of the logo my graphic designer created for me. And, you know, I'm having a real tough time choosing because they're both great ideas. And here's what the first one means. And here's what the second one means to the graphic designer. And here's what it's supposed to represent. And I need some feedback, you know, whatever you think. And this is actually something that I did. And I got feedback on the two logos. And I went back to my graphic designer. And using that feedback, she made my logo even nicer.
Wow.
So, I mean, so that's one very concrete thing. I mean, I've been at meetings where people have spoken about, you know, that they want to do their first teleseminar. And they want ideas from people. So what happens is you're on the hot seat. You tell people what it is you need and want from them and what kind of help you want. And then you have to zip your lip, meaning that they're going to send you ideas and thoughts, and you can't judge anything. You just have to write it down, because it's our judgment sometimes that gets in the way of the greatest ideas.
Oh, and I've seen in these groups where sometimes an idea was thrown out and then put on the back burner, and then that ended up being the best idea of all when they went back and really analyzed it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, and so I tell people you've got to zip your lip and write stuff down. So, now, some masterminds I've done, you know, the person on the hot seat, you know, says what they want to say, and then the, quote, audience, you know, gets 1 minute to ask questions. And then they, you know, send the person their ideas. So, you know, it has to be run the way the group decides that they want to run it. Or when you work with me, you know, you'll know which way the group is going to run.
Well, yeah, and there's probably a lot of different models, but I think that your model is really good, in especially getting started. And if it's a new group and you've never been involved in a group, you want everybody to have an opportunity to express themselves in some way.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm. When I do a group where we have maybe we meet once a week, then not everybody gets on the hot seat. You know, maybe three people get on the hot seat the first week, three other people get on the hot seat the second week, you know, and then we go back to the first group. So it really depends on how much time you're working together and what the situation is and what the group, you know, pretty much votes to do.
So then you made up another good point. How many people would be an ideal number, or is there an ideal number for a mastermind group? And I'm
sure it depends. Yeah, it does depend. I mean, you can have, as long as you've got two people, you can have a mastermind group. I've seen them as much as 8 or 10. I think that's, you know, if I'm going to do a program virtually, that's too many people. I like the number 6. I like to have rounded numbers. And one of the reasons I like to have a round number in a group is because I buddy the people up also when I do my masterminds. So if I've got 6 people, one of the first things that I'll do is put 2 of them together so that in between phone calls, they can work together.
Great advice.
And then I'll switch them out every 3 months so that they work with somebody else. So the first time they're going to work with somebody, they're going to probably work with an extremely complementary type of a business. And I do that because there's enough newness to somebody doing a mastermind than to automatically put them with an opposite type of a business. But what I do want to do in the 6 months is to kind of move people around a little bit and let them work with some of the other people, especially people who don't think like them.
Yeah, and I think that's important. You don't want to be surrounded by yes men, which is what you kind of alluded to earlier when you were talking about being with your friends and their opinions.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I want a friend who's going to tell me, "Hey, that looks terrible on you. It makes your butt look big."
Right.
I don't want to hang out with
those
people.
Right. Sometimes it's the person that doesn't feel comfortable telling us those things.
Right. What are some of the key principles of a successful mastermind group, Maria?
Well, definitely commitment. You know, the mastermind groups that I found that work the best are the ones where people committed an entire year to the process. And they really gel, and that's what happened with the coaching group that I started. You know, we were together for a long time, and we didn't start out that way. You know, my idea was, okay, this is the first mastermind group I'm putting together. Let's get some coaches together, and we'll do this for 3 months. You know, but we were together for quite a long time. So making a commitment is really important. Whatever the commitment is, I do groups for 6 months for people. But you have to make a commitment. That's really, really important, because you're not only committing to yourself, you are committing to be there every single time, no matter what client wants to see you, no matter what is going on in your life. You know, vacation, whatever. But you've made a commitment to those other five people that you are going to show up and be present.
Okay. Any others?
That's really the big one. To do the homework that you have determined. You know, at the end of a mastermind call, the process I use, people will say, "This is what I'm going to do before the next session." And that's what you've committed to, and we will hold you accountable to that. If you're starting to work on whatever that thing is and it's not working out, well, that's why you have a buddy system. Or in my case, I have a private area, a private forum, where the masterminders can go and ask questions of anybody else who's on that forum.
And I think that's key. Is sometimes we'll make commitments to ourselves, but having that accountability factor built in, which is why the mastermind is so powerful, I think is critical, because then you do see progress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so you recommend everybody who is in a group that they do have some action that they need to take before the next meeting.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Okay. What are some of the things we need to do to keep in mind when we're either joining or forming a mastermind group?
Well, you need to take a look at what do you want? If you're going to do it on your own, you know, what do you want? Do you want to be with a group of people in the same field? One of the things that I started questioning with the group that I was in is, you know, do I want to get ideas from other coaches based on coaching concepts, which was a lot of what I was getting. And I am one of those square pegs that puts themselves in round holes a lot. And so I like out-of-the-box ideas. I like ideas from all different industries. And so one of the things that I determined was that the next mastermind group I went into, everybody was going to be in a different industry. Or if there were other coaches and consultants, they weren't going to be doing what I did. So that might be something for you to consider. Another thing to consider is, do you want to do something virtually or do you want to do something in person? Let's see. Another thing to consider is the time that you want to do this mastermind group. You know, 12 o'clock on Monday. You know, the one that I started was 11 a.m. on Mondays. And we had, you know, one woman from New Zealand coming, you know, waking up at the middle of the night to come to that particular one.
So your first one, was it virtual then?
The first one I did was virtual. In fact, all of them that I've done have been virtual.
Okay. And I think that there's a distinction there, too. Do you think the dynamic... let me back up again. If you've not been involved in a an in-person mastermind, would you think there'd be a different dynamic than being virtual? Because I've been in both, and I have found both of them to be very different in some ways and very much the same in others.
Well, I can tell you my experience in doing one in person was that I started to do one. I was trying to put one together in a specific area, actually in Seattle, which is where I do a lot of networking and marketing. And I tried to do one with that met once a month, and that was going to be free. And one of the things that I learned is that that was not a good model for me. Because it was free, I wasn't reaching enough people who were really committed. And so I looked around for other models, and there are mastermind models out there for people making over $1 million. They're called EO Network, WBO, TAB, Vistage, and they are organizations where people pay a membership fee, and then they, you know, pay a monthly fee, or the membership fee might include a year's worth of monthly fees or whatever. And what I realized in looking around to see what was around that millionaires were doing, I said, you know, that kind of a concept makes more sense because, you know, people, when they put their money out, are a bit more committed, you know?
Exactly.
And so I said, you know, that's going to be my next in-person, which is what I'm putting together now, are some groups local to me where people will actually physically get together for 2 hours a month, and then we'll go out to eat. And, you know, it'll be... they'll have their mastermind group there. Then we'll do the same thing as I mentioned. We'll put the buddies together and, you know, have the bulletin board for them to go ask questions on, you know, et cetera. But it'll be in person. And I think the in-person, thinking about what are the differences between one and the other. Well, I found that people didn't show up on time when I did the in-person one. You know, they kind of just walk in. But there is a different dynamic when you are physically across from someone. You know, sometimes I had to say things that, you know, weren't going to be pleasant to the person. And I'll be honest, it's easier doing that on the phone.
That's true. If you're not looking them in the eye, the guilt isn't mm-hmm. as strong, mm-hmm. even though you're doing it for their own benefit. Yeah, I would see that.
Right.
You know, I've done
right.
both, and I like both for different reasons. And I guess it also depends on the area of your life that you're working on. Because I found with my girlfriends, we had a girlfriend's one that, you know, all the girls were single, and they were working on, you know, relationships at the time. And I think that was different. It needed to be in person because sometimes someone just needed a shoulder to cry on. And we really treated it like a mastermind. We had a mission statement and everything. But then, you know, what happens with those kind of groups is that one or two get married or move away or whatever, and then pretty soon it kind of just dies a natural death. Or they get healed, I guess. I'm not sure. But it was interesting, an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, and I was speaking to somebody local to me who I was excited because she was actually putting together a group, and they had met, three of them had gotten together, and they had met for coffee and blah, 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 and they had done this during the summer. So, you know, I thought she was going to tell me the group was looking for more people. And then the next thing, you know, she said was, you know, we've kind of fallen away from doing it. And, you know, and again, you know, I think that has something to do with the commitment of putting some money down also.
Yeah.
You know, even if you and your friends are putting, you know, doing one together, or your local business buddies are doing it together, you know, put some kind of money commitment, even if you donate that money at the end or have a big party or something.
I think that's an excellent piece of advice, and I would strongly suggest that everybody consider that because you're absolutely right. The money talks, and people don't want to part from their money, you know. They don't want to walk away from it without, you know, something to show for it. Let's talk about forming a group. How difficult or easy is it to form a group? I mean, first of all, where do you find members, and what type of person is ideally suited to belong?
Well, I'm going to say what I look for, you know, being a solo small business owner, I'm looking for other solo and small business owners who are in complementary businesses, who I think have something to offer me. Because I know I've got something to offer. So I want to make sure that I'm going to be in a situation where I feel, you know, comfortable that they're going to be able to contribute to my business in this case. And it isn't the easiest thing to do, but, you know, it definitely is doable. I mean, TAB and Vistage and some of the organizations wouldn't exist if they didn't have these groups all over the country. And, you know, I know there's like 80 people just in the group in Seattle. There's not 80 people in one mastermind. They have smaller masterminds, but that association has about 80 people. But you start, you know, you start looking around. I sent a note out to my email list. You know, I've got my email list so that I know where people live, you know, at least what state they live in. And my private database, I know, you know, exactly where they live. So, you know, I would send a note out to the people on my list and see who wanted to get together. I even put ads in the newspaper because I was offering it for free in the beginning. You know, the newspaper would take the advertisement as an event, even the business journal. And, you know, you kind of start spreading the word, and eventually you can get, you know, you can get a group of six people together. You can start it with two, and then once two people have made that commitment, then you can, you know, determine before you two get together that, you know, once you get two, you're going to go for four. Once you get four, you're going to go for six. And once you get six, you're going to have a waiting list.
And, you know, I never thought about putting it in a newspaper. What a great idea. And it opens you up to a whole new group of people, because sometimes we kind of look in our own circle. Even if it's the outer circle, mm-hmm. we tend to look at the people around us and don't consider that there's other people out there. So that's really an excellent, and the way you're doing it, of course, because you're matching people who've never met, I would assume, most of the time.
Right, yeah. Most of the time, yeah, because I'm facilitating, and when I was doing it for free, one of the comments that came out of people quite often was that what they really needed was for me to be a facilitator and not necessarily be part of, you know, be part of the group, you know, give them my ideas, but keep the group going, keep the group on time, and that's pretty much what a facilitator does, you know, sends out the messages, make sure that, you know, if nobody's asked a question, answered a question on a bulletin board, that, you know, somebody, that they answer the question, et cetera. So they do participate, but they're participating as a facilitator, and that gives that type of a group a leader. Some groups work well having a leader. Other groups, like the coaching group I started, we did not pay. I got them all from coaching email lists that I was on. We started with 14, and then we got down to seven or eight, I think, and that was pretty much what we were at for quite a while. And that list, the way we ran that one was that every time we met, somebody else was the facilitator, and then somebody else was the timekeeper, and we had it all kind of scheduled out. And if you couldn't do it on your particular day because, you know, you're going to be out of the country or something, it was your responsibility to, you know, get somebody to fill in for you.
And you know, you speak a little bit of, I think that's really important. You talk about structure, and I think this is It almost needs to be very structured in order to get the things mm-hmm. accomplished. So, and you mentioned a little bit about the structure of the meetings. Would you like to, like, maybe go through the whole process of what, the when and where and how a meeting is run? Typical, you know, atypical?
Well, I'll give you, I'm running them for 2 hours. And I've actually, so far, in the two groups that I'm doing, one is going to be in a catering hall, and we're going to eat afterwards when rush hour is. That's what our agreement is, so we don't have to drive in rush hour. And the other one has been the office has been donated by an insurance agent who works with business owners. So he's kind of sponsoring the room that we're going to be in. So that's how simple getting the room was in both those cases. In one case, the insurance person is not going to be part of the group, but in the other case, the caterer, one of their staff is going to be part of the group. So you have to get some kind of place. It needs to be quiet. Now, this is if you're going to do one in person. It has to be quiet. People have to take their phones off. Everything's got to be shut down. You know, it's got to be intense commitment to the group while you're there. And then you walk through, you know, you've got to determine the rules first and how you're going to run the event. And like I said, and you alluded to, you can, you know, run it in a whole bunch of different ways. I've just found that the way that I've put it together has worked, and I'm going to keep doing it until it doesn't work anymore. But the facilitator, in my case, will, you know, make sure that there's water and stuff to drink for the 2 hours that we're going to be together. And then just like I said, we're going to do the beginning, which is going to be, you know, tell us about the successes that you had. We're going to do the middle, which is each person on the hot seat, or you can call it whatever name you want. But you're the person getting the information from the rest of the group. And then at the end, you have a close. And I just close the way I close my coaching calls, which is, you know, what's something of value are you taking away from today's session? And then everybody, you know, you go around the room and everybody says that. Because you want people to realize the value that they're taking away. You want them to verbalize it. That will help keep people coming back also. And then they need to make a commitment. You know, what are they committing to do between now and the next session in regards to what they talked about on the hot seat?
Excellent. Can you give us some real live examples of how mastermind teams have helped other businesses grow?
Well, it's confidential. So
without naming names or anything, just kind of an example, a description, like, you know, the best you can do.
Okay, so let's see. Somebody was on the hot seat, and they wanted to speak more often at any kind of event locally, okay? And I think they were a web designer, just for example. And so they said what they wanted. They told, you know, we knew where they lived. This was one of the in-person ones. So we knew where they lived. We also knew that the person was Jewish, so that was an added thing that we knew about them. And then the person zipped their lips, and everybody in the group provided them with places they thought that he would be a good speaker for. You know, what organizations would be good for him to check out to speak, and he just started writing things down. In some cases, people were able to tell them, you know, Mary Smith at, you know, XYZ organization is a good contact, and use my name.
And then,
so he got two different kinds of suggestions. One would just, like, open-minded, you know, throw out ideas. And then some of the, you know, some of them were real person suggestions, where they were going to introduce him to the person to speak.
And did he follow up? And what was the result of that?
Oh, lots. He did follow up, and he, you know, he got some speaking engagements, you know, from the list. You know, it was a big list that he created, but it also gave him other ideas of things that he could speak on. You know, different groups that he can go to. Because once you see the list, then you start thinking about all the other possibilities that are out there.
It's kind of like
me. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, with me, I liked two of the logos that the person originally came up with, And one of the my company is Elevating Your Business, which starts with an E, which there's a reason for me saying that. So one of the concepts was an image of a person kind of moving upwards. And it was really beautiful, a beautiful illustration. The other one was a box, and in the box it had a letter E to it. And I loved the one with the E on it. And when I was at the mastermind, you know, people know my background is brokerage. And they said, Maria, did you even consider that this is kind of like the E in Enron? And wow. it had never dawned on me. Now, under normal circumstances, people aren't going to put that E together with, you know, Enron. But because I come from brokerage, they all did, or, you know, at least two of them did. The other one, the comments I got were that it was a beautiful logo, but they would expect it maybe more to be in the fitness area. Now, that was also their own perception, because I've seen that type of a thing in HR and consulting, but that was their perception. And, you know, when you're looking at your business logo, the perception of other people is really important.
Well, yeah, we fall in love with our own things, and sometimes we're not sending the message that other people get. We're only seeing it from our own perspective.
Right, and I'm sure I'm going to use that little person, you know, somewhere, you know, on my websites or somewhere in my work at some point in time. But for the purpose it was going for, the recommendations were things like steps, because I, you know, take people to the next, you know, not the next step, but I look to jump them up a couple of steps when I work with them. But something that would go along with my background, but also go along with what I was helping people do. And so the logo that's on my website is the logo that, you know, we finally came up with. So the next meeting I went to, I brought all the new logos, which were all steps, different kind of steps. And then, you know, I got comments on the steps from the people in the group, and then I, you know, decided which one that I wanted to use.
Excellent.
So that's another thing. The coaches in the group wouldn't be together, you know, years later if they weren't getting something out of the group. Now, you take a look at some of the original groups with Thomas Edison was in a mastermind group, Henry Ford, Andrew Carnegie also. Those were the original masterminders of this past century. They didn't know anything about steel or cars or electricity, you know, but getting together with those masterminds, getting together with their groups of friend, you know, friends and colleagues, helped them to become millionaires. The other concept is that organizations like the EO Network and TAB and Vistage would not be around and doing as well as they are if the multimillionaires were not getting something from it.
Interesting. And that's true. I would say, well,
mm-hmm.
Obviously everybody's got to get something for it, but whoever's in the group has to be able to get some benefit, obviously.
Right, and you get more benefits than you think, because when you're on the hot seat and you're in a mastermind and everybody else is a business owner, chances are that you're going to want that list that the hot seat person is putting together. Because, as I mentioned with the speaking thing, well, you know, I speak. So this is a business owner who brought up a topic that I didn't, might not necessarily have thought of at that particular moment, that might have not been, you know, the item that was the most pressing on my mind. But I got a lot of ideas from that. So not only is the person on the hot seat getting really good information, but you're gleaning, you know, as a participant, you're gleaning a lot of that information too, and that's adding to you growing your business.
Absolutely. And that's what the beauty of these things are, is sometimes we don't even know what issues we might have until we see other people with those same issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's really...
Well, the person who wants an employee, you know, going for their first employee, and they say, you know, tell me the different kinds of things that you did and the mistakes that you made that I should not make.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your mastermind program, Maria, what you offer your members and where our listeners can go for more information about it.
Sure. I do, as I mentioned, I do physical in-person masterminds in the Seattle, Puget Sound area. But I have masterminds started that are virtual, where people get on the phone at the same time of the day all together, and we do the process on the phone, like the coaching group I had started. And, you know, up to six people. We'll actually start them at four, but up to six people, a commitment of 6 months. And I've got groups for startups, you know, people who don't have businesses, don't have licenses, all that stuff. I even run one on a Saturday for the people who might be working and starting up a business. And then I've got one for established business owners. And basically, you become a member of the group. You commit to the time frame. It's 2 hours a month on two different days. I usually do them on Mondays or Tuesdays, with the exception of the one on Saturday for the beginners. And then you get a buddy. You get the forum where you can ask questions during the week and get feedback from, you know, masterminders. And it's not necessarily your own group. It's any of the mastermind groups that are around. They will also answer your question. And then once a month, I have a topic call. So it could be vision statements. And so everybody will get a template of a vision statement for their business, and then everybody will do their vision statement. So every month there's a new topic.
And wow, so you offer quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so mm-hmm. How many groups do you typically run at one time then?
Four or five.
Okay.
Would be typical. I'm down to about three right now.
So in addition to your program, what other resources do you recommend to our listeners who might want to know more information or get more involved in a mastermind group?
Well, definitely check out the Napoleon Hill Foundation, and Think and Grow Rich is definitely a book or a CD to get some more information. You can do a search on Google for masterminds, you know, and put quotes around it so that you mastermind groups. You're not going to get an awful lot. You'll get some articles, and there are, you know, other people out there doing, you know, different groups. You'll find the EO Network and the other ones I mentioned. But it's interesting how this concept, I would have thought that there would be a whole lot more on it, you know, written about it, and there's really not a lot. It's just a lot of articles that people have written.
Yeah, you're right.
Have you found anything else when you've tried researching it?
I wrote an article on one of my blogs about it, and I, for the life of me, can't remember the gentleman's name, but he has a blog devoted strictly to masterminds, so I'll make sure that I send that out. He caters to small business owners, and I think his blog is informational. I'm not sure what else he does, but I found it to be very good, and I've read a few of the things that are on his blog, and primarily they're his perspective.
Not Evan. Is it Evan Carmichael?
You know what? It might be Evan. Yep,
it is Evan
Carmichael. Yes, it's Evan Carmichael.
Yeah, I found that.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah. Because he actually responded to my blog post, and so I decided to go on to his blog, and I started reading. Now, I think he talks about other things as well.
Yeah, and he does, he has mastermind groups in Toronto.
Ah,
yeah.
Got it.
Physical ones, yeah.
Yeah. And he's really a bright guy. I like some of the things that he says. I've read other stuff, and I didn't know that's what he was doing. Okay, great. Any other resources? before we open it up to questions?
Well, that's pretty much what I've seen out there on this specific topic and putting it together. Definitely, that's about it.
So, Maria, what's the best way for our listeners to contact you?
Well, they can contact me through the ElevatingYourBusiness.com website. If they want to go see the program that I'm running, it's called Business Coach Plus.
Okay.
And that concept came out because I find that people making, you know, there's this whole segment of the population who cannot necessarily afford a full-time coach for the month. And by being part of a mastermind group, you're kind of getting me for a couple of hours.
Right.
You know, so it's a really good way to get coaching. And I think the only other thing I'd like to make sure that people understand is that when you're in business and you are, quote, working alone, now you could have an assistant and stuff like that, but when you are working, you're a business owner, you really need to be around your peers. And, you know, have substantial conversations with them and grow. And you need the support. If you had a corporation, you would have to create a board of directors. And a lot of times, the mastermind groups become your board of directors or advisors. You know, you'll start calling, you know, a particular person up because you know that they've got expertise in a particular area. And although you do not start a mastermind group as a networking group, it's inevitable that you're going to be doing business with each other, and you need to come up with rules in the beginning on how that's going to work.
Absolutely. And
so those are just a few extra things.
And Maria, will you tell us about the offer that you have for all of our listeners?
Yeah, I'm actually doing a. I've actually changed the offer. What I want to offer everybody is, I know that this is a tough time financially. If you heard my introduction, none of the firms I worked for are in existence anymore. You know, Merrill Lynch went this week, and so I have created a report checklist called 29 Ways to Recession-Proof Your Business. And everyone who joins my newsletter list will automatically get that report. It's the same report my clients get when we start working with each other. So it starts with, you know, create a vision for your business. You know, it starts from up front, because even when I work with multi-million dollar clients, we start at the same place as when I work with somebody who's been in business for a whole year. So you will have the same checklist I use with my clients. And what I found was, you know, at a time like 9/11, that, you know, making sure you were more focused than usual was so, so important. And, you know, my clients get really focused. That's one of the things we work on. But this list gives you, you know, you start here and you do this, and then you go to the next thing and you make sure you get that done. And for some of the people on the call, it's just going to mean you take out your vision statement that you already created and take another really good look at it. And so we call it 29 Ways to Recession-Proof Your Business. And I think we have that at elevatingyourbusiness.com/, what's the name of your organization?
WECAI, W-E-C-A-I, yes.
Right, all in capital letters. So if you go to elevatingyourbusiness.com / WECAI,
that's
AI, all in capital, and join the newsletter. Within, you know, 24 hours, I will send you the report.
And Maria has some great things in her newsletter. It's a high value. I think it's filled with great content, so I highly recommend it. And I just want to say this: I get about 40 magazines a month, but I only subscribe to a couple of e-newsletters, and that's because I just don't have the time to read them. And yours is one of them I read. So thank you, Maria, and thank you for being so gracious. Would you be able to stick around for questions?
Oh, definitely.
Okay, great.